Good morning.
Good morning.
The first reading is the 23rd Psalm, which is on page 415 of your pew Bibles. This, though, is in the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from the second letter of Timothy by St. Luke, in St. Paul, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. This is on page 906 of your Bibles. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have been entrusted with him to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. God, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
What if you were nearing the end of your life, perhaps even a bit unexpectedly short? What are the ideas or the things that you would want to be sure lived on in the world? Would it be your love of history, or your fascination with model trains? Would it be your passion for protecting the environment? One of the things that I wonder about when I'm gone is, will anyone love my collection of old linen napkins and tablecloths? Now, even when my house looks like a bomb went off, which it does right now, after 6 weeks of Lent and a week of Holy Week and Easter, an annual meeting that I have been preparing for almost a year. Oh, and throw in a few emergency visits to Maine in the middle of all of that. And you know that I don't generally just do church. I bring 14 bottles and jars and napkins and placemats and to make church. So those things have all just been dumped lately. Even then, there are still, in a hidden closet downstairs, probably 45 ironed linen napkins arranged in size and wear, and tablecloths as well. Now, this is not the most important part of who I am, but it's a piece of me that I love and that I wonder if it will just disappear with me. It's not what I care about most, but I hope that someone will love my collection after I'm gone. If I am to be remembered for only one thing, however, I hope it's not linen napkins and tablecloths that I've snagged at the rummage sale, Rather, I hope it would be that I will be remembered for the fact that I loved and trusted God, and that I tried to share the beauty and the grace and the power of Jesus Christ with the world. That's what I hope people think about most of all when they think about me when my life is over. When we meet Paul in today's scripture, he is in just that same kind of place, contemplating his legacy, concerned about what he has been preserving the better part of his adult life, establishing. He's making arrangements to ensure that his work won't die, that the knowledge and the power and the love of Jesus Christ will continue to be preached to the ends of the earth, even long after Paul's earthly body is no longer invigorated by the Spirit of God. At this point in Paul's ministry, he has been imprisoned by the Romans, and they do not fool around. So he knows that even if his life isn't exactly going to end, it will be severely hampered, whatever is left of it. So thinking about all of the apostles that Paul has worked with, all of the people that he has shared the gospel and shared ministry and found fellowship, he's wondering whom he will pass his mantle to. And it becomes very obvious to him that it is Timothy. For so many reasons, Timothy is the clear choice of who Paul wants to hand on this message of the gospel and make sure that Timothy safeguards it so it doesn't disappear and isn't overlooked and doesn't get forgotten. Now, I've been reading this passage for over a year because this is the passage we use to undergird the annual meeting of the Vermont Conference. I read it as we chose speakers and musicians and thought about how to craft worship services. And it wasn't until yesterday that I realized that this passage isn't about Timothy, which is what I thought all along, but it's really about Paul and his passion for the gospel. You see, Timothy has been like a son to Paul. He was Paul's closest companion. They traveled together and engaged in ministry, if you put the stories together, for probably at least 17 years. Timothy was rock solid. He had a strong and well-grounded faith, but he was also a very timid man. You know the kind of person who, when you go to shake their hand, they step back? The person who, when you go to look in their eyes, kind of looks a little to the left and down? The kind of person who, when you want to say, "Hey, Timothy," they're like, "Hello?" And Timothy was sickly. There at some point, Paul says, "Timothy, take some wine for your stomach. Don't worry, you're not going to become, you know, a drunkard. You gotta," and you wonder if he was wanting to settle his belly, and as Emily Heath said this weekend, maybe calm him down a little bit. Timothy was anxious, and yet he had inside him everything he needed to be the person who continued Paul's ministry of carrying on the gospel. Occasionally, Paul would contact a community that Timothy would be visiting, reminding them to treat him gently. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "When Timothy comes, see to it that nothing frightens him." Isn't that the dearest thing? "When he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace when he's done there, so that he can return to me." Timothy is the last person you would think of who would be Paul, bold, brash, big Paul. And yet this is, I think, the power of the gospel, that it doesn't matter who we are on the outside, when the gospel is inside of us, we can be useful to God. In today's passage, Paul is highlighting for Timothy the essence of the faith, the aspects of God's message that must not be forgotten or overlooked in the possible wake of Paul's death. So he begins by buoying Timothy up, reminding him that he has been raised by godly women. Your grandmother, Lois, your mother, Eunice, in whom the faith was strong. And remember, Timothy, you've been laid on by my hands, been ordained for the work set before you. Remember, Timothy, the Spirit of God is not timid, You might be timid, Timothy, but the Spirit of God is not timid or ashamed or easily distracted, Timothy. You don't need to have it all in your personality, but you've got it all inside of you. So even though being in service to the gospel will not protect you from suffering, Paul reminds him, because don't think just as soon as you say, okay, I'm working for God full time, even if it's a little bit not my personality type, and everything's going to go smoothly. It's going to be an easy street now because I'm working for God. Paul says, remember, I'm writing you this letter in chains, in prison, probably about to be executed. But nevertheless, it is still the best life I could ever hope for. So don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed by what's happened to me. Know that I am as alive as I've ever been. And know that you, by taking on this work, continuing the work you've been doing, will be full of mercy and grace and holiness, and that God will continue what God has begun. Paul reminds Timothy that even though he is timid and shy and a retiring person, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not timid nor shy, and it will not take a back seat, and that Timothy needs to step it up, and in spite of his own inclinations to hold back, Timothy is now being asked to speak the gospel of freedom and love. I love this part of the encouragement that Paul is sending him because it reminds you and I that we all have a part to play. I think about Moses and Aaron. When God spoke to Moses, Moses said, but wait a minute, I stutter. And God said, you're the one I'm choosing. You're the one I want. You're the one. I think of Jerry Garcia, who was missing some fingers and who was the most amazing guitar player in the world, if you like the Grateful Dead. Maybe you don't, so he doesn't seem like the most amazing. But he was like he was almost better because he was missing a couple fingers. God fills us with what we need almost in spite of ourselves. We all have a part to play. We are entitled and called to be ourselves, not to obliterate it. You know, if you're a loud, big, brassy person, God doesn't say, shut up and be quiet. God says, use that loud brassiness. If you're a timid, shy person, God doesn't tell you you have to become blah, blah, blah. But God will use that to spread God's message. We can share the love of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the compelling, regenerative essence of God, no matter who we are. Timothy, though timid and shy, knows God, understands the gospel, has lived the Christian life, and he is enough. He is more than enough to be able to carry on that divine ministry. Timothy is how God will continue to shed the light of Jesus Christ in the hearts of others, even after Paul has gone on. So regardless of our gifts, regardless of our personalities, regardless of our natural inclinations that may seem not enough to us, we are enough. You are enough. You are absolutely perfect in your broken imperfection, in your skills that don't seem fully developed, in the piece of you that feels most tender and shameful, you are more than enough to share the love of God. Do you believe that? Have you experienced that? Will you choose to live into that if you haven't yet? You are more than enough to share the love of God with a hungry, broken world. So what might be your role in the kingdom of God? Is it organizing rummage for the week, all while warmly welcoming those who come to donate and who shop? Is it cleaning out the refrigerator or ensuring a smooth-running kitchen for the next week while it is Grand Central Station in there, cleaning dishes, eating food, getting a cup of coffee? Are you the person with your arms up to the dirt transplanting some of the wonderful plants and bulbs that will be given to us? Or are you home praying for Old South Church and for all churches, for our country and the world, all while the hubbub happens? Is this how you take your place in the kingdom of God? Or are you in the choir, singing your heart out and leading us to come into that moment where we stop thinking and just be before the Holy One? Or are you reading to children in your local school? Or are you crocheting hats and painting cards? Where is your place in the kingdom of God? Are you cooking soup during the week and serving it to your beloved church members on Sunday? Are you cooking on Tuesday and serving at the community supper on Wednesday night? Are you praying? Are you marching? Are you writing letters? We all have a million ways to serve God, but we also have primary ways. Do you participate financially, generously? Is that your primary mode of being a part of the church? Often we don't have just one, but we do have a way we feel most comfortable, and that can lead us into becoming good at a lot of things. Paul was a bold man, unafraid of anything, brash even. I had a brother-in-law once who said, I would love to have sat with Paul in a bar and shared a beer, and I thought, no, you wouldn't. Because there wouldn't have been enough room at that bar for both your personality and his. I think Paul filled a room. I think Paul was just unstoppable in all its glory. And you know folks like that, a little bit annoying. Paul had what God needed to get the word out. And then God got a little more subtle with Timothy and some others. We are not all shaped like Paul, and we do not need to be. The gospel continued after Paul's death, and it will continue long after ours. As those who love God in each generation fan into flame the gift within us. That's what Paul tells Timothy to do. It's there. Just fan it into flame. And the same is true of every single one of us. We need to fan into flame the gift of God that is within us. And we must remember, it won't always be easy. Part of what Paul is telling Timothy is, yes, he is in chains in jail while he's writing this. He's reminding him that loving God isn't always a recipe for safety, but it is always a recipe for abundance. And yes, Paul was executed for his faith, probably pretty soon after this letter was written. And 25 years later, Timothy was executed for his faith because he loved God even more than he loved breathing. Paul's message to Timothy, and therefore to us, isn't find your way of serving God and everything will go smoothly from then on. No, Paul's message to Timothy and to me and to you is this: remember, you are already full of the Holy Spirit. You are called to do good works. You're a part of a long line of people to whom God has looked to do the next right thing. You will always be accompanied and upheld by God, even if it doesn't always feel or look easy. But if we walk in faithfulness, leaning on those who've come before and shared their faith with us, and stretching into the future and sharing our faith with those who are yet to be, then all shall be well. And all shall be well. And all manner of thing shall be well. Thanks be to God for our foreparents in the faith, for those who will come after, and for our role right now. Amen.